Lime, duh.
Wah, let's do it again, baby! Hello! Woo!
I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm 4 or 5 women every day of my life.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host who is the most, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donski Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling, a.k.a. Danny Capri, from the time I went to Italy. A.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof, Raja, cold brew running through my veins, gabba wee, yeah. This girl, she is mine, and she's fat.
I have been here for 12 years.
What up, jabroniacs? Holy motherfucking shit. We are back in action for your satisfaction with all the spicy wrestling reactions. Wow. Can you feel my lack of soundboard overcompensation?
Yes.
Feel spicy. I gotta tell you, this cold brew is getting me jacked up. Soundboard, I've been here for 12 years.
The lack of soundboard compensation is off the charts.
Can I tell you what runs through my mind every time I do the intro to this show?
Tell us.
I think about what the new listener thinks.
Yeah. I go like, you're worried for them?
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, you know what? Many people, tremendous. Are we still Trumping or no?
I mean, I would have I personally am avoiding it, but I'm not going
to not be able to avoid it.
That's fine.
Many people, tremendous amount of people are saying that I'm an acquired taste. Give this podcast 2 or 3 listens and you will be hooked, baby.
What else is an acquired taste? What is a food that's like, oh, this is an acquired taste?
Our
like
tongue? People like, are not giving him a chance. Monday Night Raw? What's an acquired taste? Yeah. Professional wrestling is the epitome of acquired taste.
That's true.
I think it's hard to just, because like if you go to like a PWG show or something, by the way, in studio, Nasty Newman to my front.
How about it?
Aaron Finnerty to my right.
What up?
If you go to like a PWG show or something, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's like you go to a PWG show, right? Sometimes I go into the dice cadence, not on purpose, like I'm going to say a joke. It's like, walk into a PWG show. Like there's a joke there, but there's no joke. You go to a PWG show, like you can be hooked on that right away,
right?
Because it's like just high level dope ass wrestling. It's stunt driven, spot driven.
Yeah, well, that's what I tell people. That's what I tell people.
People
who,
yeah,
how many people? Who tremendous know, amount or many?
A normal sized
just
amount.
A few.
Oh wow.
A non exaggerated amount of people.
People.
Who know that I'm into wrestling and they talk to me about it, like friends and stuff like that. I always say, man, go to a local live wrestling event. Don't try to
over.
Just go. You can't have it. It's like a dementia that you have. Where
it's
like,
so hard to not do. I love it. I also have done it around people who are people.
<That's> so funny.
I will say
we just lost a listener.
I will say that
four patrons. Right
I do find myself saying, okay. It's so hard not to.
It's really hard not to.
Okay. We love wrestling. The man is a wrestler. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like the man is a wrestler. I mean, he's a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's also got
to
go.
The character work right now is low in the wrestling field.
Right.
I was thinking about that in the tribe over here, man. All right, Aaron, I'm going to give you a job, which is like to keep track of topics I want to talk about because I'm about to jump around.
I will do my best.
Which
but
is
no
like,
guarantees.
All right, one thing I want to talk about is I got a Tulo thing.
Oh, brother.
And then I got wrestling pitches. A fantasy wrestler I was thinking about, which I think ties into this. And then what are we talking about with you? Oh, then we got to do the LaCroix thing.
We got to do we have a special LaCroix feature.
We're not cutting this out,
today.
By the way, because our engineer, the Canadian Dream.
I would like for this to become like a normal part of the show. I would like for this to become
the table of contents.
Yeah. The very beginning. Like Aaron, write these down. Yeah. This is what I want to talk about. These like eight things.
Strict bullet points, and we go through them in carefully timed increments.
Yeah, we do that. And then, well, it's hilarious that I have so many notes when we do this show.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's all over the place, but I got so many notes.
Yeah, this is Dan reined in.
Yeah.
There's a lot of control here today.
I get so pumped. I get excited to talk about wrestling. It's like my favorite. It's hard. Do you guys find when you're out? See, this is why we got to keep track of the topics. You were saying something about people. And then we veered into Trump.
People who don't. Who know that I like wrestling and they talk to me about it, I'll recommend local. Like, go to like a PWG, go to a local live show.
Table of contents. Okay.
It is on the table of contents. It's the first sign, huh?
That's the first thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we should.
So, right. You're
because
saying,
the energy is undeniable.
But the thing is, you have to have people know people who are open-minded enough to go in the first place. Because I think a lot of people would be like, that's really not for me. But if they went.
I mean, I guess just my friends, I guess, are open-minded.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's a good thing.
Cool. Oh, stop it. You're making me sick.
I didn't include you in that. I mean, you're my friend, but not in that the group that I'm talking about.
Right.
Separate. You're my,
not equal.
That's generous of you to think that.
Separate and not equal. Yeah.
Hey, people. So look, turning on just a random ep of Raw.
Yeah. Forget it.
Even when wrestling is like really rocking.
Yeah.
What are the odds of a hit? What's the odds that you're gonna see the Festival of Friendship?
Right.
Like an iconic. Yeah. That's a segment that I think that even like Jamie could turn on, and we use my wife Jamie, who's a tremendous,
the
great woman.
Test
as the litmus test. She's actually not good. I don't think she's not a great tester. Yeah. I don't even think she would like the Festival of Friendship.
Right.
You could use Mike. He's a
we'll
good
use
example.
Mike, Aaron's husband. Mike. He's if you saw like the Festival of Friendship, like, yo, wrestling's fucking is good right now.
Yeah.
What are the odds you get a hit of that if you're just turning on wrestling?
1 in 10.
Can
if
I say
not-
that actually happened to me when I decided to start watching again regularly? It was before
I think we have to add that to the table of
the
contents because he was about to give a percentage there. Well, we're trying to organize this show more, okay? So
we'll
the
go
percentage.
Statistics first.
That'll be 1A, and then what you're going to say is 1B, okay?
So 1A is, I think, and this is just based on a hunch, it's like your chances would be like 1 in 10 to 20. Like
those
every 20
odds.
Episodes.
Yeah.
Right? That even still feels generous.
Yeah.
Like probably closer to impossible to like pick a random Raw and it's going to be a hit. Like it's
very unpredictable too. You never know.
Maybe
even
five
season.
Out of the 52 episodes.
Look, everything is math, so whatever. But
I know
everything's math. But the hits are. I mean, it's like if just turning it on, it's got to be 1 out of 1,000. That's what
right?
I'd say.
Yeah,
which is not to say like once you like wrestling, you like it even when it's kind of shitty.
Right.
And then you can appreciate the hot mid card feud. Like you start having a taste for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then
right.
actually,
taste.
You like the finer things. You know what I mean? Like. You kind of like you like the you like moments that people can't recognize when they're you know
and 1B
okay, 1B was I had been watching off
can
and
we move
on.
1B to 1C Aaron I'm sorry
no,
to be wrong oh okay
not
fine
again.
Well then I have a 1C
have
which
to
is
put
a
my okay. female foot down.
Okay here.
No but it was when Seth Rollins came back from his injury and I saw him like charging into the ring after Roman Reigns and they
Extreme
were two
rules?
Delicious men. It was before Money in the Bank in 2016.
This is when you started watching again.
Again, right. regularly.
Like, oh, these guys are hot now.
Yeah, and I had a kind of a wrestling
guru. I think he
guru.
Came back against, he came, I think he came back Extreme Rules and he was hiding in the van the whole time.
I don't remember. This was
bus.
Like before Money in the Bank and he came out right. and like Maybe he and Roman Reigns had a stare down and I was like, these are let's put this in a perspective.
Yeah.
Hot men.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah. A couple spicy gentlemen.
That's something that can't be understated is that this generation of wrestlers, I think in the indies and then also on the major promotions, make the past generations look like fuggos, man.
Oh, yeah.
Ugly
I mean,
fuggos.
So many
yeah.
hot guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone is so much more beautiful now.
These guys. The crank levels are so high.
Off the charts.
High crank levels.
Chafe. We're in like a chafe. The chafe quadrant
can't
of the crank
anymore.
Crank almond.
Well, also because a lot of them look like more regular guys now.
Yeah.
So that's where you're kind of getting a guy where it's like, someone would actually be your type.
Right,
like,
no one actually
wanted to bang Val Venus. You
right.
know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
yeah, God, no.
Right. No one was a Sean Stasiak lover. You know what I mean? Like, by the way, we got a Patreon, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling.
Very important.
I mean, I blame him. No, she's not here. The Canadian destroyer, as I'm referring to him now, Anosh McAdams, decided to just go to Canada for 4 weeks and, you know.
Do what Canadians do, eat poutine and smoke weed and
poutine pie.
So yeah, that's why I'm manning the knobs here and the levels. Frankly, it's for a show of this caliber with this kind of great fan base we have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's like if Frank Sinatra was playing, I don't know, Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like,
he's
running the lights.
Himself.
He's running the lights.
Yeah, yeah.
He's ushering people in. He's taking tickets. He's selling popcorn. And he's singing the hits.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
He's like, fly me to the moon. Yeah, seat 11A.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing right now.
No smoky. Come on. No smoky. And a one and a two.
That's what you're doing right now.
I know. It's unbelievable. Wait, can you check it out? Newman, talk for me.
Yeah.
All right, levels are fantastic. I'm actually doing a better job than if you want to get into it. If you really want to get into this right now, the quality's better. Okay,
wow.
All right, can we go to the table of contents?
Well, item number one, I think
1C
we addressed.
Actually was Skylar Astin, friend of the show.
Pitch Mr. Perfect.
Check him out at the Hollywood Bowl. He's going to be in Into the Woods. The man's into the woods, but the guy's also out to sea. I mean, where is he?
It's been a minute.
I feel like I never should have said.
Seen him since Calmania.
I should have never said Frank Sinatra because now you're acting like a Rat Pack comic.
Hey,
this guy. He's plugged into this now.
Yeah. I love it. We get to a restaurant and they're like, hey, can I get the Sinatra table?
Yeah.
So any table I sit at, I say it to Jamie every time. I always hear, it's like, oh, nice. They gave us the Sinatra table.
She's like, this is the worst sweet greens.
I don't know. I think it's Arlen's thing that I took. I think he invented that. All right. What was the next thing?
Next item on the list, and I don't know if you want to go in order, is a Tulo thing. Sorry, Nick.
By the way,
Nick.
So, you know, I've been going in the sensory deprivation tank.
I've heard.
Going in the tank.
Yeah.
And so the thing
just do mushrooms.
No. Because here's the problem. Here's the thing with the tank. Maybe we should save this for the bonus app. By the way, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling, the only and best way to support the show. If you like what we're doing, we are grassroots, baby. Okay. If you dig this, support it. If you like what we're doing, support it because we could get Thanos any second. Okay.
We could have to record like this all the time.
I hate that I brought up Marvel.
We could get brand split.
I hate that I brought up Marvel because I don't want to go on one of my classic Marvel rants.
Oh,
but if you want to hear
it.
That, check out last week's Stuber episode.
Yep.
Stuber is still in theaters. Check it out. We're not sponsored by it at all. But the Patreon episode dissecting that. We got a bonus episode coming out today, which, guys, it was supposed to... Listen, this is our apologies to Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, but it was supposed to be the Blockers episode, but I...
tell the truth now.
I saw Blockers two times. I've seen Blockers two times.
I've seen it twice
now. Movie dissection.
I've seen it like four.
But I was watching it last night and I fell asleep.
How dare you?
I'm working like an animal, okay?
Like a dog,
okay? I'm working like a dog. Woo! Anyway, I'm killing it with the coffee here. Anyway, I'm working like crazy, but I haven't skipped the gym once.
Oh,
bravo.
I just want to sound like an asshole.
Yeah.
No, but it's crazy because I we'll save it. We'll save it for the but
right.
Anyway,
what is the bonus?
The thing is that
about?
I think Blockers has the potential to be a five movie.
Uh-huh.
For anyone that's not listening to our bonus dissection, we dissect movies with professional wrestlers in it. We have our own rating scales. We do 1 to 5 moves. Now, a five movie is not necessarily the best movie you've ever seen. It's the best movie a professional wrestler in it. So, for example, like, you know, if like the wrestler in the movie looks great, that'll get you three moves for me immediately, even with a shit script. If you know, we got Standard with Muscles. I think I gave that two moves. That movie
based on physique alone,
right?
I mean, Hogan was looking. He was ripped. Muscular. It was like primo NWO Hogan. He was so lean, so jacked. It was maybe the worst movie I ever saw. But I can't give that zero moves.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was, you know, Hogan when he wasn't racist.
Yeah.
Oh, remember those days?
Before he chose to be racist.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm just checking out my levels here. Again, I'm doing my own levels today here. And that sounds good to me. Okay, that sounds better. So, yeah. Anyway. Blockers. So we rate these movies. I think there's some of our best work if you haven't listened to any of those. But
they're very good.
Blockers, I think, has potential to be a five movie. Don't spoil what you're going to say.
No spoilers.
And I want to rewatch it fresh, even though I've seen it twice already.
I think it's worth finishing it. The third act is very funny.
Yeah, I think it's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching the first hour last night. I was texting you guys. I was fucking dying.
I mean, not to get too into it, but well, so I'll say this. The guy who wrote it wrote Miss Congeniality, and like that's it.
That's the only movie he wrote?
Yeah. And so this movie is so funny that I was telling Aaron before we were
directed
recording.
By Kay Cannon.
Yeah.
Who
I guarantee you
I've done
she improv
had, with met multiple times. She's fucking hilarious.
I think that she had someone or some people go over the script.
Some people?
Some make a
How many?
Made a pass.
Many, many?
Just a normal, unexaggerated amount of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
I made a pass at this script because it is so hilariously written.
Oh yeah,
that
I can't believe it's
it
the guy who wrote Miss Congeniality.
You know what? The writing is great in the movie. Totally,
the jokes are so specific.
The jokes
and funny.
Are so specific, so good. I think the performances are fucking
also,
off
yeah,
the chain.
Really
also,
movie.
Yeah, a lot of funny choices.
Cena's fucking great in that movie.
Cena's
obviously,
the best part.
Look, it's getting at least three moves for me just for Cena looks great.
Yeah.
Leslie Mann is fantastic, but the. Cena's daughter in that movie, that actress, is so funny
really
to me.
Good.
She is like a confident nerd.
Yeah.
I don't know how you describe
she's
her.
She's like a jock.
She's like a jock. Yeah. Yeah, not a, like she's a nerd because she like hasn't really partied before.
Right.
But that actress is like, I think that that character is like brilliant. Like she's like trying to have sex with her for the first time and she's like, says to her, the guy she's at prom with, she's like, she's trying to let you know we're gonna have sex tonight.
Yeah,
and the guy's
like,
all right, we'll see what happens. He's like, nah, it's happening.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
We're gonna have sex. And like, I've never seen that where she has no nervousness to it at all, but also no romance about it.
Right.
It's great.
Save it for the pod.
For the pod. But
coming
anyway.
Soon. Coming soon.
So, we're going to do a lot of people, many, many people, tremendous amount of people on the Facebook page. By the way, if you're not a member of the Comedians Wrestling
Check
Facebook page,
out. You have
we're
to.
Still in the plugs, by the way. We're 20 minutes in and we're still doing it now, man. This thing is memento style.
We have not.
All right?
And we still have a couple items on the table of contents.
On the docket.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're not in the Facebook group, you're just a jabroni.
Yeah.
Right?
There's two groups in this world. There's people on the Facebook group. And there's everyone else.
Yeah, it's a must.
You want to be part of it.
It's a 4D experience.
Okay, so we're talking about Tulo.
Talking Tulo.
Okay, so I go to these
a new segment.
So Tulo generously told me about the tank. Now, here's the thing about these. I'll save this for the bonus app. Yeah. But I go to these Epsom salt
about
these
now.
Tanks, which is Epsom salt.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they help me a lot with muscle repair and stuff, right?
Yeah.
The benefits of it are like, I'm positive, and you know I don't like any hippie shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll talk about my experience in the tank as I went back. But point is that I have salt water in my ears for 2 weeks now.
Put earplugs in.
So
can,
I didn't. I'll save it for the bonus set. This is
bonus content.
Okay,
sorry,
we
folks.
Can't get this in the non-supporters. The non-supporters
this
don't get to
taste
hear about
of
this.
What you get if
but
you
my thing
subscribe?
Is, I might be louder than I want to be,
right?
And my ears are clogged.
Oh wait, and like and outside of
so
the
like
tank.
So like the headphones right now, like I know I'm not hearing properly, but I'm working so much.
You're not yelling,
to the doctor.
You're not yelling. Right
yeah.
now,
no, not anymore.
And not
than
anymore
usual.
Than yeah.
Oh, okay.
You sound normal.
All right, but I don't.
Okay.
I could. Okay, people. All right, where are we at? So let's get moving down the table.
All right, next on the list is.
Oh, nice.
Oh, is that where we're at?
What
this
flavor is that?
Wow, what flavor?
This is the new hibiscus LaCroix flavor recently released. And I saw
Duh?
It. Duh.
Wow, what flavor?
Oh, this is the new hibiscus flavor. Duh. I'm excited. Oh, what flavor is that?
Hibiscus new. Duh.
Wow.
So we're doing it right now.
Don't drink it just yet.
This is the new flavor of LaCroix.
Just saw it at Target
for the first
time.
Not a sponsor of the show at all. This podcast, oh man, that's a funny idea for a podcast. The not sponsored podcast. You're just hawking products the whole time.
That's so pathetic.
And by the way, we don't make any money on this. Anyway, hey. We're trying it right now.
Okay.
The new flavor.
Yeah.
Will this replace lime? That will be, I'll ask around the room.
Let's try it.
Go around the room and we'll ask. Will this replace lime? By the way, this is a professional wrestling podcast.
What are you smelling?
It smells a little bit like fruit punch.
Wait.
Sound.
All right, Aaron.
Yeah.
Kick it off with the simple answer to the question, then I'll ask you why. Will you replace lime in your life with the hibiscus?
No, duh.
No, duh.
Why?
All right.
Why? I need more.
Yeah, we need,
more
information.
I prefer the lime. Lime's one of my faves. Has a real natural flavor, but I don't really know what a hibiscus flavor is meant to be, but I'm not offended by this. It's acceptable.
Yeah.
So
this would go to, I think, maybe tier two or tier three of the flavors.
Tier three. Wow.
Yeah.
What's your tier two example?
Well, tier one is lime and pamplemousse.
Right.
Tier
pamplemousse
two
up there
is lemon and pure.
Yeah.
And
I feel like pamplemousse is like
bottom.
Lime is like Thor, but then like pamplemousse is like Anthony Hopkins.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Who's like, hey, I was the flavor.
In the pantheon of, yeah.
Anyway, all right. I'm not sure if that tracked,
it
but
doesn't
it's
track.
Fine.
That is tier three for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think this would replace lime.
No, duh. Okay.
This would not replace lime for me. I think to me, lime is a tier two flavor.
Ooh.
Tier one is only pamplemousse.
Okay.
The one true flavor.
They don't share.
Well, the one flavor to rule them all
is pamplemousse.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
I'll accept that.
This, I like it.
Yeah.
It tastes good.
Yeah.
But lime is tried and true, and like I haven't gotten sick of lime.
Same.
This I could see me like getting sick of.
Yeah.
Oh, I think
I'm calling this flavor stink lemonade, and I'm saying that it's fine. I would say I put it in echelon three. I call it an Arlen flavor. Arlen likes like disgusto. He likes like
dragon fruit and
he likes too much flavor. Where I'm like, I'm trying to drink water with a hint.
Yeah,
he's trying to drink like fruit that has no sugar.
Like that Spindrift.
Yeah.
I hate it.
So I this is fine. Go try it just because you gotta respect LaCroix, and LaCroix is in
LaCroix.
In the nosedive right now. All right. Well, so we're drinking hibiscus here, and let me tell you, I already have a headache. Cool. What was the next topic? Oh, my fantasy creator wrestler. I was driving over here and I was listening to the Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yo, they need like a Swayze wrestler.
Oh, I love that.
Like they like not
Fandango?
No, not that. That's what I was saying. Not that. Like that's what they think they want.
But you want like billowy shirts and like wavy hair.
I just want someone who's like a fucking talented stud. You know what I mean? Like and like it actually feels like his style is like
dance based.
Dance.
Yeah, like he likes it in his time. He likes to dance, and like he likes to like take out a woman proper. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
he likes to
give a lady a show a lady a nice evening.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Like do pottery.
Yeah, but then
together.
He also wrestles. I think the closest we had was like Del Rio.
Oh.
But not the guy, not him as a guy.
Yeah,
but like where he like show up in the car, like. But I mean, like, more like a guy's like, he's like classy, but it's not, it's like, hey, like, I'm just, he's not, it's, it doesn't mean he's a heel.
Right.
He's just a guy, he's just like a guy who likes the finer things.
Right.
Interesting.
And then also, it's like, he's also very comfortable with his sexuality, but not in a creepy way.
Right.
And then also, he can, like, like he knows how to order a drink, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like a class, why do you have a wrestler whose gimmick is that they're like, they're like a classy ladies man.
Interesting.
Like if Rick Rude weren't a pervert.
Yeah. I mean, they're all perverts. That's what I'm saying. Why do they all have to be a bunch of fucking perverts?
I mean pervert as like a term of endearment.
Sure.
But like...
Yeah, well, when wrestling, all insults are just compliments. you're like, this guy's perverts, a fucking piece of beef.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that?
Yeah.
This guy's all brawn. Strowman!
Yeah, I think it would be a cool gimmick for somebody like Andrade.
Oh,
yeah, Andrade.
Take her out dancing, take her out to dinner.
I love the thing they've never been able to pull off is like, maybe they have, but I can't think of an example of it right now. It's like a guy who like, he's like very good at fighting, but like, he's not, that doesn't define him always.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes
you want like a three-dimensional. Like the most interesting man in the world.
Like, yeah, you want like,
I want like the Dos Equis guy.
Yeah.
You know, like something like that.
Yeah.
How does Dos Equis commercials have a better character than wrestling? All of wrestling. Yeah. All these talents.
Well, because it's simple, right? It's right. Like, this is the most interesting man in the world. So if that's true, what else is true about him?
Yeah.
And then it's just, that's everything that's also true is all the punchlines and facts about him. But it's simpler than wrestling is ever going to be.
That's true.
Wow. Well, you just schooled me. Wow, I just been taken to school. Hey.
Because like in wrestling, it's like, oh, they, you know.
Even
the characters with like seemingly straightforward gimmicks are not straightforward. Like, like Brutus the Barber. He's a barber, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What does that mean in this context, right?
He's like, why is he wrestling? The guy comes out and he's like, he comes out and he's like, you know, I was supposed to go out with Cindy tonight. She lives in Minnesota and we have a great relationship.
Like he has a girl that he knows.
But I heard you talking shit. You know what I mean?
Like, he has a woman that he knows in every city that they go to.
I know, but that makes him a slut, right?
Like, he's not being disrespectful.
I just slut-shamed a fictional guy wrestler. Yeah. It's so offensive. I just lock him up. I gotta say, I feel like we do the best episodes when, and by the way, I'm sure I killed the momentum of the set by saying it's good.
Yeah.
But that's what I do, the momentum killer. That could be my wrestler, but the meta, apex momentum.
Meta world peace.
Yeah. But like, I'm saying, like, whenever there's lull times, there's no pressure to hit, like, the big shit that happened
this
week.
Yeah.
Right.
So then you're like, we pepper in the wrestling, though.
Yeah.
Never sleep on the cow pod, as a matter of fact. If you're not watching wrestling, that's the time you crank up the cow pod.
Yeah. I think that you should be listening instead of watching.
It's not a tactic. I've always noticed that. Is that like whenever I'm like, well, what are we going to talk about this week? We do the funniest apps.
Yeah.
Anyway, calling your app funny. By the way, now it's gotten bad. No question. There's no question.
No question.
I have enough training, comedy training, to know don't call what you're doing funny.
This is the point in like when somebody's listening to this at work at the hosting shop, they're like, do I need to keep listening to this podcast?
The answer is yes.
I mean,
always,
you're working at a hoagie shop. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
you're
these
there
people
for 8 hours.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you toasted my bread too much. Oh,
probably like 8.5 hours. You know what's bullshit?
What?
You may disagree with me at first, but hear me out.
Let's go.
I disagree with a lot of your like teen angst.
It's not quite teen angst. It's the 1 hour lunch at work.
What of it?
It's actually just a way to keep you there for 9 fucking hours,
right.
Like, okay, yeah, you're getting your...
That's the man. That's the law.
Dude, right?
Trying to keep
you... Oh, we have an hour lunch. Oh, really? Yeah. Like, I would rather just work 7.5 hours and you pay me for 8.
Wow.
Well, I do what I love, so I've never worked a day in my life.
Wow. That's why your hands are so soft.
My hands are so soft. Creams. But I say, listen, oh my God, what's happening? What is happening?
You're turning into Trump like a werewolf. Like you turn into like a creature
under certain conditions.
We're doing. This is tremendous work.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
I listen to these other podcasts. I can't even believe the followings they have.
Yeah.
So I'm boring. Like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That was Seinfeld and Rodney Dangerfield. <Yeah. laughs> Listen, I'll come on all the comics. No. I don't even know what's happening right now. What
Take
were we talking about,
wife,
Aaron? Do you have us on track
please.
Here?
Well, that's the end of the table of contents.
Oh, what was the thing I was talking about before I started talking about how great we are?
Oh, we were talking about your Patrick Swayze character.
Oh, yeah. He takes out a lady, right? Or that effect.
Yeah.
Did I sell that enough?
Yeah.
But I am saying, like, every character... Like, Strowman is one of their most successful characters they've had in a while, I think. And then I want to talk about this and then go to Bray Wyatt for a sec, because I'm worried about Bray Wyatt a little bit.
Interesting.
Because Strowman was simple, right?
Yeah.
You knew what it was. It's like to see like he's a big dumb animal.
A monster among men.
Right.
Right.
But he also's got some attitude, and it's like, oh, we like lean into the fact that he's like real strong. But my point is that he's not wearing like a FIFA 4 Fum shirt, right? Is that dress right? Like he acts like that, which was like really fun. But he'll still everything he does is like so silly and over the top. But they like play it grounded because it's like, oh, he's like this guy.
He's not like
everything they do is like if they bring out if they had the like this Swayze character. They would blow it right away, like, or they would just not even attempt it, right? So, like, for example, EC3, it's like he's a one percenter. He doesn't even have a computer,
right?
Like, I mean, right? He's got like he doesn't do anything 1%. So how could he ever succeed when his gimmick is like I'm in the 1%?
I think he means physically, not financially.
Oh, I thought it was.
I thought it was like the 1% of like genetics or whatever.
Is that true?
No, that sucks.
Of course.
He wears suits.
Of course he wears
his
suits.
His video, he was putting on the suit or whatever.
Yeah, but I don't think I never got like a whole like Occupy Wall Street thing from him. I thought it was just like on the top 1%.
No,
like,
bro, he is Wall Street, not Occupy.
That's what I know, but I mean, like,
You're the one with the Zuccotti park drum.
I'm the one in the camps.
Yeah.
I'm the 99%. No, like I always assumed it meant like I'm jacked. I'm like the 1% of
party
jacked
at
guys.
EC3's house. I don't know.
Oh shit. Well, now I feel
that just goes to prove your point, where it's like, what is? It's like unclear.
Yeah, right. It's like that. It's like if it's the Swayze guy. You know what I'm saying? And he's just like, his gimmick is like, yo, this guy's like a class act. Yeah. What they would do is they would have him come out and be like, here's what I drink. And it'd be like, stupid. As opposed to like a guy who like comes out and he's like, hey, we're like, oh, he takes forever to get to the ring because he shakes everybody's hand. He signs every autograph.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But he's not overly excited to be there. He's not like a Bailey face where it's like, oh, I'm so excited. He's just sort of like, I'm grateful to be here. You know, he's like shaking people's hands, kissing babies.
You want to get like in, like they should try to write to the Cena and like Strowman zone where it's like, you know what they are. Their gimmicks are big and corny, but they're played realistically.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, it's hustle, loyalty, respect, or whatever. But he comes out, he's not wearing an American flag.
Right.
He's saluting it or whatever. You know,
talking about it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it's like just on the pocket. It's not like, but they still want the mid-card guys to be, you know, either undefined or just wacky.
Right.
It's very weird. I actually really don't understand it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like some guys like Ziggler are in like a sweet spot where like, he gets to like be himself.
Yeah.
And like I've heard Ziggler, something he said to me in conversation. Then when he gets on the mic or whatever, I'm like, oh, he said that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh, I don't think that's like, he wouldn't be mad at me saying, I don't know, that's not anything, right?
Don't dime us out to
don't dime us out. Anyway. Point is the Swayze character.
Yeah.
I love that. They should have him be his character from Roadhouse. He's a badass fighter. What about women
want to fuck, right? Like, it's always like, oh, everybody wants to fuck, like Val Venus, where like, why not like a woman that's just like,
a man,
he's such a great guy.
Yo. Roman Reigns, one quick fix to the guy.
Yeah.
He's got to stop saying y'all like that. Like, y'all. That is terrible. Yes. And not because it's Southern, because it's just like, it's lame. Like, you can't be a bro who goes like, what's up, y'all? Like, it's weird.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's almost like he's trying to like, be like the Usos.
He's trying to hip it up a little bit.
Yeah, but it's just
vibe.
Not.
I get that.
He's just like, yeah, be Roman Reigns could be that guy, the lady, the Swayze guy.
That's where
he's the guy I was thinking of.
Like, you could put him in that character.
He could be that, but also, like, he's not interesting.
Yeah, like he's there. He's your second husband.
I want to see him, like, come out in, like, khakis and, like, a white, like, kind of billowy, like, men's shirt.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
be, like,
khakis? Would you put him in khakis?
Pleated.
Wow. That's a different direction than I would go. I would have him more like Lorenzo Lamas and Renegade.
Picturing Swayze. Oh, I love that.
Lorenzo Lamas and Renegade give him like sort of like a one of those like South, like Santa Fe like drug rug kind of like you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Right.
Smocks, The jeans, motorcycle. Some vaguely Native American, or sorry, I'm sorry, indigenous people's yeah. garb.
Indigenous people.
A motorcycle.
Yeah.
I'm saying Lorenzo Lamas and Renegade.
That's you love to talk about Lorenzo Lamas, by the way.
Well, because he's what Roman, it's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a coincidence that Renegade was a show on the USA Network.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I don't know why I sound muffled to me.
It's a salt water in your ears.
That's what I'm worried. But you guys sound perfect.
Well, that's
naturally.
Yeah.
All right.
Think about how good
guys.
We sound.
Guys, I'm really doing engineer work here. So
think about how good we sound when your ears aren't clogged right, with
here's
salt
the deal.
Water.
Yeah. So we're 35 minutes in. And we haven't even mentioned Raw Reunion. So I think we could all agree that that thing was not successful, right? Here's,
okay, I'm not here to yuck anybody's yum.
Yeah.
I'm not going to yuck your yum. If you loved it, that's fine.
Yeah.
I just can't pretend to be excited about
Dude,
Boogeyman Pat Patterson and like Medusa. I don't give a fuck.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. So look. So negativity. So you see,
I don't think I'm being negative.
There's a difference. So let's talk. We got to talk about negativity. That's what we got to talk about right now.
Yeah, we got to talk about it.
Can we add that to the table contents? So I don't forget.
Right. Let's talk about it now.
Okay, in negativity.
We veer off.
Yeah.
So look, the cool thing about this podcast is we have this Facebook group,
community.
We have a great community of people, like people, and a lot of you guys, even you guys message me all the time. We're talking about wrestling, and it's great. But the cool thing is that I think we have an actual thumb on the pulse of the community.
I agree. We do.
A foot on the neck,
of the industry, baby. But I'm saying also that doesn't mean that everyone can sense the general vibe of wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But our group is one of the most positive groups. That I'm in a couple other groups. I always want to quit them. I'm not even talking about some of them are real swampy to women and stuff.
Yeah.
But look. I'm not. If somebody posts a close up of Alexa Bliss's ass, right?
Right.
I'm not actually offended by it. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't make me want to quit the group. It's crazy that someone spent their time to post this.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you're I didn't really gain anything from it, but I'm not offended. There are things that are racist and there are things that are actually crazy sexist and offensive that are these other groups. I'm but I stay in them because I feel it's part of my job doing this podcast.
Sure,
is to actually not put myself in the bubble, which you can't even escape. I'm in some kind of bubble. But my point is that if our group is feeling negative and the vibe in there is negative, then I know there's a problem.
Right. Right?
That's a great litmus test for where we're at. And people are not happy with wrestling right now. They're not happy. You know, it affects us with the pod. It's people, it affects my vibe of oh man, when everyone's not as excited, it's it makes me less excited to do it, to come. I'm always happy to do the pod, but it's I have less to say or blah, blah, blah. But we don't have that problem.
No.
We're not fucking recap podcasts.
It doesn't ever seem to be a problem.
To be honest, some of our longest episodes are lull times.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When things are good, even our Stuber ep last week is one of our shorter bonus eps.
Yeah.
Because I'm that movie's fucking rocks. Go check it out. But times are weird. So, look, I'm not going to talk to you. I don't want to have a conversation that's you should be liking this. You're all a bunch of complainers. I don't want to have that.
Right.
But I want to have a more nuanced conversation about this, which is we're going to keep watching, right?
Right.
It's kind of this thing where it's sometimes me and my wife will have an argument or something, and we're not perfect. Newsflash. Whatever. Or we get into an argument. I'm oh my God, we're so above.
Yes.
We're so above. Aren't we above arguing about this?
Yeah.
What are we, fucking on a sitcom right now?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you're oh man, I'm guys, aren't we above saying wrestling sucks right now when it's literally not close to WrestleMania season and it's the middle of the summer, the weather's nicer and you'd rather be outside and aren't we above we know that they need to pull out all the stops on Fox, so they're probably holding on stuff. They're obviously Vince isn't the biggest Kofi fan is like letting him ride out his run or whatever. You know what I mean? Like he would have been the champion 10 years ago or whatever. Right. Like he's waiting to put the title on Roman. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't we know this thing never stops. It doesn't have seasons. Now that's not an excuse for bad quality,
right?
But it is a thing where it's like, this is what it is. Don't act like you are shocked by that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when it's a lull time, then you need to take lull measures for yourself.
Yeah, recalibrate your expectations.
Right. Now, for me, when wrestling is lulled and I don't feel excited to watch it, I get excited about the fact that I get to do the podcast. Mm-hmm. We get to hang out here, which is like a highlight of my fucking week, right? And also, I get excited to watch wrestling when it's, like, I'm like, oh, now I get to watch it when people aren't into it. Like, why don't they like it? The watching wrestling is the constant for me. So I don't get caught up in, like, it sucks. Like, what a waste of time. Like, just be like, why? What's my point here? It's like, I think you could. I said, hate watching wrestling is not a crime.
Yeah.
Right. But being like shitty to a fellow mark is.
Yeah.
That's true.
Where the line is. It's like, you want to hate watch wrestling? I actually don't have a problem with that. Like, I have friends who watch it just to think it sucks.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool.
The complaining
actually
is part of the fun sometimes. You know?
Yeah. Right.
And it also brings
people
together.
It's like watching the Mets. You're like a Met fan, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If they get good, the only reason that's cool is because it sucked before.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Part of the yin and yang.
I was going to say, it's very zen.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, I've said this before. Like, you can't have, Magic the Gathering. They said, why do you print bad cards? So the good cards are good?
Right.
Yeah.
So someone pushed back on me when I said that, by the way, to get into the most marky thing. And they were like, I don't know. I forgot what the argument was, whoever it was, but they made a good point about why that's not a great argument. That's fine. But what I'm saying is that, like, I know I'm going to keep watching it, so I don't get caught up in shaming it.
Right.
Because it's like, I'm going to keep watching it. But how do you guys feel on that? I want to respond before I move into Raw Reunion.
I mean, I think the negativity, like, I think people enjoy, I've said this before, I think people like being negative and only talking about the things that they think sucked. But then it's like, you watched the whole 3-hour episode that you're now complaining sucks, which says to me that the complaining and the negativity is like part of the fun of it. And it's okay if like the complaining is fun for you, but that's complaining about the product, but still watching it, not being super negative. I think, and also when you start being a dickhead to like other people who are more enthusiastic about it, I think is a crime,
right?
And where the line should be drawn.
I just think that there's a thing where it's like, hey, look, we can't. Here's what I'm saying is that don't be shitty to each other, especially in our group.
Rule number
one.
And
then nextly, just admit to yourself you're gonna watch this thing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, or like, don't admit to yourself that you're not a fucking, like, admit to, you're a mark, man. Like, it's all good. Like, you want it to be better. I'm trying to find the proper way to say this. I just had it and I lost it. And we can't edit this out.
Mm-mm.
We can't. We actually don't
you're
have.
You're listening to Dan trying to remember.
It's like, accept the fact that complaining about wrestling is part of it.
Yeah.
It's part of the fun, the same way a Met fan would.
Right.
And then have fun complaining about it.
Yeah, I'm
right?
into that.
That's
I'm
what
fine
I'm saying.
He's
like, let's have fun even when it's bad. And then also, wrestling, here's the best thing about wrestling, is that like it actually doesn't require much attention.
Right.
So like, put it on and fucking play a board game.
Do your laundry.
Do your laundry. Fold your laundry. I build magic decks all the time when I'm like, And also, you don't have to do. I can't build magic decks anymore because I do the podcast, so I have to pay attention. Don't have a podcast if you have that attitude.
Right.
By the way,
do. Yeah, don't have a podcast.
Period.
That's
period.
A great place to start.
I'm with that.
So anyway, all right, let's talk about Royal Reunion quick.
Yeah.
So the thing is that this thing was not my favorite. Okay. Now I don't. I have no problem with a nostalgia act situation.
Right.
I have no problem with it, but to say that this was good is wrong. It was It was the least interested I've been in an episode of Raw all year, somehow. Like, somehow. I really had no... I don't know. Well, how do you guys feel?
I watched about an hour of it.
Right.
Really?
Cumulatively.
Yeah.
Right.
Just because, I just don't...
You dipped?
I dipped out. Yeah, because, I mean, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I watch enough wrestling. I know who these legends are, quote unquote. And, I know what the episode was going to be.
See, so here's the thing is that, like, look, I don't mind if they have these episodes like Raw Reunion, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't mind. You want to do it, that's fine. I'm just not going to like it, but I'm also not going to complain about it. Like, it was fine. Oh, this person. But the problem is that they've dipped into this well, like, too much lately.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like we have Raw 25.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much. And then we know it's a big ratings boost thing. Right. So it's just like,
here's my question is it blows my mind. Not really a question, more of a statement.
Right.
It blows my mind that there are people who are like, I haven't watched wrestling in years. And you're telling me that Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, is going to be on Raw? Man, I'm tuning in.
Yeah.
Like, it blows my mind.
Right.
That there's people who are like...
people will tune in if they hear Stone Cold's on Raw.
Pat Patterson's going to be there? Holy shit.
People tune in for Cena, and they tune in for Stone Cold. Not those guys. But
then why have a whole reunion?
Well, that's my thing, is that, like, the whole episode... It took an episode of... Now, look... I think Raw is a throwaway... Can be a throwaway show, right?
Yeah. Because
it's like... it's a soap. I would argue they're gonna have a hard time if they don't get us hooked. The point I've always made, which is like, they should get us hooked on the show the same way we're hooked on like Game of Thrones,
right?
Like, you should be hooked. And they have a foundational problem that I'll stick with, which is like, no one knows how the show works,
right?
Right? No one knows how it works. That's their biggest problem, is they have no ground to stand on right now. It's like, who's the GM? Who's Matt? Even look at the most coherent story they have going, which is Shane, Kevin Owens, right, probably. That story is like, well, what's the beef with Shane and Kevin? What's their problem? What's their beef?
Kevin thinks that he has too much power and he's on TV too much. He's taking opportunities away from actual wrestlers.
But is that... Right. Cool. So, that's fine.
And Shane's counter-argument is nuh-uh.
Right.
That's a strong counter-argument.
Yeah, his thing is no, I don't. But, like, why is Kevin Owens that hero? You know, like, I think it's actually the best thing they have going. So I'm not really criticizing it, but I'm
it
like,
was sort of placed.
What would
on
hook
him.
You into Kevin Owens? Like, if you think about it, they're trying to like make Kevin Owens a big star. They're framing him the wrong. Like, if you turn on the TV, right, and they're trying to make these new stars, and this is going to veer into kind of a different element. I'm like, okay, well, the things that work are real. Daniel Bryan worked, right? Because Daniel, although I don't know, whatever, the Daniel Bryan thing worked because. It's like, he's an underdog. He's 5'8".
Right.
Well, when you turn on the TV, you watch Kevin Owens, the guy's wrestling in a t-shirt and shorts.
Yeah.
He's like an everyman, right?
Yeah.
So they're kind of going for like a storyline with him, but they're not really acknowledging that.
No.
Which is like, so they're not even talking about Shane's power. It's like, Shane's just on TV. He's calling himself the best in the world. It's like, oh, I'm the best in the world. That's like, okay, well, what's his deal? He's power hungry. Is he trying to get stocks, or is he trying to run the company? Is he even in charge?
Right. It's like,
that's a big unknown.
Right? It's like, is he even in charge of SmackDown right now? I'm not even sure, because Bischoff was like, why don't you come over to SmackDown? So they have that going on, but then he wasn't on SmackDown, right?
Right.
So you're like, oh, all right. Like, so the point is, it's just the whole thing's built on shaky ground. But if you want to build the Kevin Owens stories, you have Shane come out and be like, look, I'm trying to make this company money because I'm in charge, and Kevin Owens... You look like shit.
Right.
Right? You're like a fat guy in a t-shirt. People tune in for fucking Hogan. You know what I mean?
In this context, like, people tune in for Drew McIntyre. Like, look at this guy, right? Like, it's so easy to, like, do that.
But you get to point to the other guys. It's just like, it sounds like you want to be this hero here, but it's like, you're not a draw.
Yeah.
People want to see a fantasy. They want to see John Cena. The guy's chiseled. It's like, you are wearing a t-shirt, man.
Yeah.
And then people rally behind Kevin Owens because he's you.
Right.
He's me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Kevin Owens is, right?
Yeah.
But like, that level, that took me, I was driving my car, that took me 5 seconds. Okay?
Yeah.
And, I'm currently a TV writer right now. Listen to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, man, their logic is like
nowhere.
It's there is fucking no
non-existent. It's too thin. Yeah. But like, they almost have this great stuff.
Yeah.
So, and they make this amazing, amazing show.
A thought is occurring to me.
Without any thought for what it's built on.
Like, almost in spite of that.
Right. Now, yeah. I'm saying, if you look at what worked in the Attitude Era, and then I'll shut up. I was going to say, is, and the times where wrestling, I thought, like, really worked. The Daniel Bryan storyline was built on Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. Randy Orton was the face of the company, right? Literally, they said that. They're like, he's best for business. You're like a little shit. He cashed in, took the title away from Daniel Bryan. Like, that's where that story started. It was a long-term thing. And it was like, look at this guy. He's gorgeous. Vince is there. The actual stakeholders of this company are there being like, this is the guy who we want on the Today Show. This we talk about the Today Show test.
Right.
All that is gone right now from wrestling.
Right.
And they don't have anything in place except for McMahon's and nostalgia acts to replace that. That's and they're doing nothing, from my perspective, to fix it. So actually, the reason people are having a bad reaction is to go, oh, wrestling sucks, blah, blah, blah. Actually, what you're feeling is you're disappointed by something you actually care about. And that's what you should say. Right. Cut the toxic masculinity 100%. Out. And be like, this was really upsetting to me because I feel emotionally invested in it.
Yeah.
Instead of going, it sucks, if you like this, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're asking a lot of people who watch wrestling, I think.
Well, I feel sad. I feel sad about wrestling because I'm out here actually putting my... I'm here in fucking Hollywood, not California.
No, Florida.
Hollywood,
Florida.
Home of Dolph
Ziggler.
I'm here
in Hollywood, Florida.
We're live in Hollywood, Florida.
Popping over to Clearwater, getting a couple Scientologists on the payroll.
Oh, Clearwater, that's where the Phils practice.
Really, dude?
I'm saying, like, I feel like I put my reputation on the line as being, I'm labeled a wrestling guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In this biz. It's like, no, it helps me sometimes, gets me jobs and stuff, because they're like, oh, this guy knows wrestling or whatever.
Yeah.
It helps me. Like, for example, they bring me in for Glow every season for, like, small parts, which I never get, because they're like, hey, we know you love wrestling. We want to try to get you on the show.
Make a wish.
Netflix. Yeah. So I was like, no. Yeah. Whatever. Damn. No, actually, the part I went in for was actually cut from the thing, but
the final cut
wasn't there. I didn't see it. Mistake, people. But but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then you're like, man, like, it's like, be better, you know what I mean? Like, it's like when you have a family member, it makes your family look like shit.
Yeah.
You got the black sheep. Wrestling's like, it's like my black sheep or whatever sometimes. So I feel, but then when it's great, I want to shout it from the mountaintops, and I think wrestling is so fucking good that I'm so upset.
Well, wrestling, it's like a restaurant that can serve you.
And this goes for AEW, by the way, too. I just want to say one thing. I'm saying AEW sometimes, AEW, like, I see things they're doing, and I'm like, guys, I'm like, come on, get a better logo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm telling everybody, trying to explain to people, AEW's coming up, it's the big thing, and then the logo's jabroni status, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I was gonna say, wrestling is like a restaurant that could serve you anything in the world you want, like exquisite meals, just amazing, crafted culinary art.
Delights.
And delight the senses, but they serve cold spaghetti most of the time.
You gotta get there on the right
instead.
Day.
Right. And sometimes you show up and it's like, whoa, this food is fucking fire.
Right.
But 95 to 99% of the time you go there, it's like, oh, cold spaghetti again.
Yeah.
Can you guys make anything? Yes, we can. But we're making cold spaghetti.
Yeah. And you're afraid to take your friends there.
Yeah.
So they just need to change the foundation of it to make you like follow it and care. Bring in like the New Japan tournament structure, right? Where it's like, oh, hey, this guy, you care about this, and who's running the tournament? You know what I mean? Who's this? Who's the sponsor of it?
Yeah.
Show me the corporate sponsor. It's fucking Tostino's and Donnie Tostino's here, right? You know what I mean? And he's here. And, oh no, he's disappointed because Cesaro was the guy. He was the Tostino's spokesman, and he lost. And the Tostino's pulling out. I wrote that in 4 seconds.
Right.
And that was cooler, I think. Was that bad?
I think I like the Tostino's guy.
It doesn't have to be Tostino's. Sponsor. Put in your favorite products.
Yeah.
Drop Cracker in. Barrel? Like AW?
Donnie Cracker Barrel is here.
Yeah, Petey Penzoil.
And Donnie Cracker Barrel.
So anyway, okay, that's negative. Now, That's it. So look, I'm repeating myself over and over. But okay, what did you guys like about the Raw reunion? I think we're gonna say the same thing. The only thing good, the only thing that was really great, I thought was Stone Cold.
Yeah, Stone Cold.
It was awesome.
I mean, this guy, man, you want to talk about stars?
Yeah.
This guy, I don't know what he was talking about at
all.
He was rambling on, but the guy has more star power than any wrestler ever. He's the best to ever do it. I was there, my grin. Like ear to fucking ear, just him being like, oh, you know, I'm on, look what, you know, everything's, I don't know, you know, like, I don't know. Oh my God, Stone Cold!
Oh hell yeah!
Oh my God, Stone Cold!
My ears were burning up.
Oh my God, Stone Cold! I'm sorry, Anosh. Do you know Anosh?
Yeah, the little the Mexican feller.
He's Canadian.
No. But I know you didn't mean that. Means you just don't know much.
Well, I'm just taking my best guess, taking a swing for the fences. You know what I mean? Like Jackie Robinson, swinging for the fences.
Yeah. Oh my God, Stone Cold. I'm gonna try to get. Hold on. I'm gonna try to get your music on. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I forgot.
I feel like without the music, without the glass shattering, I feel like...
Well, it's not like I can hear it. Y'all got these goddamn cans working. I got my ears are naked like a Sholo cat.
Oh, man. Stone Cold, what was that reference? What kind of a cat?
Sholo. It's a Mexican hairless.
Interesting. Do you have any?
It's like our buddy, Anosh. She's a Mexican hairless cat.
I don't think that... It sounds offensive, but I don't think it is. So wait, Stone Cold. All right, tell us. We got you in studio. This is unbelievable.
Hey, it wasn't easy getting here. I gotta tell you that, man. I was in traffic before that. Look,
wow. Do you hear your glass shatter?
Yeah. No, I didn't hear it. God damn it! I don't got headphones. Oh, there it is. Oh hell yeah! All right. Yeah. Look. Wow. All right. I was at home earlier before I got here. Oh hell yeah! Oh hell yeah!
All right. Sorry. We're
drinking IPAs. A lot heavier than the Miller Lights or the Budweisers I used to drink. Those were just lagers and pilsners.
Right.
So, it took me a goddamn long time to get here because of all the traffic, you know, and I was at home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching, I got a new Roku player hooked up, so I've been watching a lot of Smithsonian Channel.
I just want to tell you, I mean, you were on Raw.
Yeah.
And I feel like you might be doing it already. And it was kind of like you came out and it seemed like you were just talking, kind of like it felt like an old man rambling in a library.
Yeah, well, look, man, I've had a long day. All right, I came here to talk to you about professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this morning I woke up, I had a bowl of cereal.
What kind?
Then I got into the tub, or I drew myself a bath. I got new Epsom salts. I've been trying to recreate a float tank experience in my bathroom.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's something I want to talk about. So you're getting into float tank. That's what's going on with Soko. Yeah. We're getting into the heart of what you're up to. Cool.
Yeah, so I go to the pool supply store. I get me some Epsom salts. They charge me $18.95 for the pleasure. All right, I use my Discover card. I enter my PIN number 9928. All right,
sounds cool.
Then I get back in my.
You just gave us your PIN number. We don't need to hear about you shopping for the salt. Okay,
it's an integral. I'm a storyteller. All right, I'm weaving a tale.
All right.
So then I get in my Prius. I don't got the truck today. It's in for service. All right, Manuel's taking care of the truck. The H joint at the bottom of the transmission, some bitch blew off, right? I was off-roading out there in Ohio, and I was looking at the super bloom that happened recently, and I saw the most beautiful chrysanthemums growing, all right? And on top of those chrysanthemums...
I'm sorry, I gotta interrupt you there. I want to hear about Epsom, because I have Epsom on my ears, maybe. Have you ever had Epsom salt in your ears?
What?
Oh my God! Have you ever had Epsom salt in your ears?
What?
Oh my God! Maybe that's why the what came from Epsom salt. I can really as you are a real athlete, you know what I mean. I can really use some advice on soaking in these tanks. You know what I mean. So just get to the tank. What's your philosophy on tanks?
Well, here's the thing: when you're laying in the tank and your body gets all relaxed, you start to experience what's called the overview effect. It's the same thing that happens to astronauts when they're in outer space and look down on the Earth and they see the totality of life and they compare it to their own singular experience, and it creates in them a sensation that all of their problems don't mean a thing and that their life is actually pretty good.
I'm
all right,
this I'm into this. Yeah,
and so what happens is when they're in outer space, they hooking up the oxygen, They're opening up their tang. They're eating the freeze-dried gimmick strawberries, all right? Yeah. They're talking to Houston.
I don't need the nuances of being in space.
They're checking their instruments.
Yeah.
They're purifying water so they can survive. They're cultivating tenuous sexual relationships with one another because they got to pass the time in the void.
What are you talking about?
Epsom salts.
What the fuck are you talking about? No, you didn't talk about Epsom salts almost at all.
The whole time I'm talking about Epsom salts.
No, you were talking about space and going to Ojai and that you're Manuel, the car repairman.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. When you're laying in the Epsom salts and your mind starts to wander, and you got to start to, you start to piece things together, and then you realize, you know, maybe I don't pay attention. Maybe I'm just waiting for people to stop talking so I can say my thing. You know, it was the other day I was talking to my wife about the dog, my dog Mula. What was my dog's name? I forgot.
Mula. Your dog's name's Mula. Oh my God. So are you starting to lose it, man?
Yeah, I think I am.
Yeah, okay. You got to go.
I got to get out of here. I forget how to get home.
We'll call you a Lyft.
Stone Cold's wandering around the studio. This is unbelievable. Many people. Many. Wow.
Always a delight. I love it when he comes by.
Yeah, what a monster.
Smoky as fuck in here now.
Stoned again.
I heard earlier that. Yeah, I mean, Stone Cold, look, I just was fucking loving Stone Cold. I mean, on the Royal Union. It's just like, the guy was.
Well, he was nice and drunk.
Such a charming guy. Yeah. He's selling his beer, which I'm going to drink, even though I hate IPAs. They're really disgusting.
It's pretty badass IPA.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Stone Cold. the exit's over there.
How in El Segundo Brewing Company.
Anything else you guys like enjoyed about the? I feel.
You want to talk about Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, Bray Wyatt. Yeah. So I want to talk about Bray Wyatt. So, I think Bray Wyatt's doing cool shit. Like, I'm into it. I gotta be honest. I'm not like feeling the Fiend that much. Like first off, I think the mask it's fine. Uh-huh. It's a little like
2004.
Yeah, right.
I feel it's a little... they made it that way because it's like they could have made it scarier and cooler, probably really easily. But it's also like this has to be on like a PG rated show, you know? So they kind of toned it down and made it a little safer.
Yeah, I mean,
but
it should be terrifying.
Am I wrong?
I think it looks fine. I think it probably looks better in person than it does on TV.
I like contact lenses.
I think it looks kind of cheap to me the way it's made. I think the design doesn't feel that original, even to be honest. Like it feels like classic clown.
Well, it's like made by the guy who made the Slipknot masks, right?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, Tom Savini, one of his team did it.
Look, I know him. I think what he's doing is cool. I'm a massive Bray Wyatt fan. I think he should
be
the champion.
I think it's just not your taste.
It's not my taste. It's not my thing. I don't like the striped pants. I don't like love.
It's
that's not my thing. But I love what he's doing. I love that he's doing something right. Like that. Like he's when he does something, it's really interesting. I also like that it's like he talks to you from the funhouse on the screen,
right.
And it's like the Fiend comes after you. That like I'm interested to see where it goes. I think the look is like if that mask was just plain black, I think I might be might be cooler to me or something. I think there might be something cool with like more simple.
Yeah.
With the thing. But that's a taste. That's just a taste thing. And I was thinking about masks. It made me think about masks. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, a guy such a expressive, great actor with a great face like Bray. I was like, oh, it's a shame to put him behind a mask, but I guess you could say the same of Foley. Like it was cool that Foley like was Foley, but he would still put on the Lecter mask.
Right.
Like I think so there is something cool about like I put on the mask, but he's doing it with no irony, kind of.
Is he gonna wear the mask the whole time he wrestles?
So.
Like I'm curious to see.
Well, that was my other thing.
What's underneath? Because he
wears
contacts.
I think it'd be cool if he took it off.
I don't think he's gonna. I think he's just wearing it for these like.
Yeah, I hope
scares.
He has the. If maybe he'll have the contact lens, the green contacts in when he wrestles, so he can take the mask off and still be spooky and not just Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
in straight
like
pants.
Adam Bomb.
No, he's gonna wear the mask. He's gonna. The Fiend
really?
Is the Fiend. I think. Yeah, I would bet that he's just.
Man.
But I'm excited to see where he goes. I just so another thing that happened with Bray Wyatt is he posted a pic on Instagram
of him and Strowman and his
Adam
baby
Adam Scher, Braun Strowman picture. He's wearing the Fiend costume with his baby.
I saw that
breaking kayfabe in a way that I was like, this is inexcusable to me.
Yeah,
like now look, it's Instagram, whatever. I don't care if we see Bray Wyatt. But I don't think he could rock the stripe the Fiend costume like that.
You're telling me that Bray Wyatt is the Fiend?
Well, I don't think the Fiend is a cool
no.
term either.
It should just be Fiend, by the way.
Right.
Not the Fiend.
Right.
Small. I would listen to a band called Fiend immediately. I would not listen to a band called The Fiend immediately.
Right. Really? I guess what I'm saying is that Bray Wyatt, I think, is actually like The Fiend is a downgrade of the classic Bray Wyatt look, which I thought was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
Swamp Rapist?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. True Detective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, when I first came back to wrestling, like, watching, like, well, I mean, I was watching, but when I, like, I took a little break or something, I don't know, whatever, but maybe, and then when I saw Bray Wyatt, I saw the rocking chair and the Hawaiian mm-hmm. shirt and the hat, and I'm like, who's this guy? Yeah. The Lantern?
Yeah.
So I think what he's doing now is less good.
Right.
Now, I know he's doing something new, but it doesn't look as good to me.
Sure.
Like, I'm like, give me the fucking Lantern.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I get you change it up, but I'm like, he's wearing like a kind of a stock guar mask. Like, I don't know. I think it's a thing where it's like, it's not, I love what he's doing, but like, I'm like, I'm not getting the, like when Aleister Black walks down the aisle, I'm like, fuck yeah, this guy's going to kick somebody's face off.
Yeah.
With feet, even the music, I was like, this isn't scary. It's not really that cool. The way the lights are going, choo, 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 it's like,
right.
That feels I don't know. I'm not clicking.
Clicking for you.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
But everyone's into it.
Yeah, I'm also like this kind of goes back to what we were saying about like complaining about wrestling. Like, I'm not saying that you're doing that, but it's just like I'm willing to cut it a lot of slack.
Me too.
Because I like watching it.
Yeah, and also how many times did it change on a dime? Like, he'll do one thing where I go, I'm wrong.
Yeah,
that's
the best
thing. I just go like, I'm not feeling it right now. And then it goes the opposite way too. It's like, I feel like Cesaro's the guy I'm always waiting for like him to click. I'm always like, when are we all going to be like, this is the best guy? I don't think it's going to happen.
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to giving him the right role, like the right gimmick, I would even hesitate to say, because he's not awesome on the mic, right? But what's great about him is how strong he is.
He's
like,
a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler.
But he's not even like proficient on the mic. He's like destructive. Like when he talks, it takes you out of whatever you want from him.
Yeah. Right?
Like some wrestlers, it's like once they get to mic, you're like, I wish I didn't hear that.
Here's the thing about about Cesaro, though, image. Right? Like, he is this guy who, like, in real life, like, he's, like, super into, like, coffee and, like, cool cars.
I know,
it's
very his coffee account.
Does he have a coffee account?
He has a coffee Instagram.
He's got a YouTube show.
Like Claudio?
It was, like, Coffee with Claudio or something
right?
like that.
Yeah, right? So, like, have him be, like, a guy, like, a man of sophistication. Like, it's kind of like what we were talking about before, but it's, like a nuanced character where it's, like, I'm into the finer things. I like good coffee I just so happen to be 240 pounds of solid muscle.
Right.
You know, and so I think there is a role for him where he would pop and they could harness the fact that like he's is in sort of a sweet spot perpetually because everyone knows how good he is. Everyone's excited.
Right.
If you put a belt on him tomorrow, people would fucking love it. So he's in a sweet spot. They just need to activate him the right way.
Right.
And I think that's the case for a lot of guys and women.
Yeah.
Where it's there. They're just not doing, they're choosing to serve cold spaghetti when they could be serving anything
right.
that they want.
What's the Bray Wyatt story? And I'm taking a step backwards.
Well, he got deleted by Matt Hardy.
Well, that's
and then went
gone,
to
right?
rehab.
That doesn't count, right?
We can make it work with not that much math. He gets deleted by Matt Hardy.
Right.
Then eventually he leaves and goes and gets his brainwashed. Electroshock therapy.
Yeah.
And then now is this dual personality of Bray Wyatt.
And he has
and
a TV show.
Can you fucking believe? Listen, maybe I'm. Can you believe they have Matt Hardy on the fucking roster and they can't figure out any cool thing to do with the broken game? Like, the.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
he doesn't even need
to
wrestle. We said he shouldn't have wrestled when he came back from the begin with.
Right.
Like, Bray couldn't have been tied to, like, I mean, man, that's like, Make Matt the GM, right? Like something like that. And then like it's like it's Matt Hardy's fucking it's Matt Hardy's Raw and you don't know what it's gonna be or something. Yeah. Like I mean, just have try something.
I wonder if they are if anybody there.
He's chasing the 24/7 title.
I'm gonna exonerate the writers because it's like they're not in a power position to really make any decisions. I wonder if anybody there in upper management is interested in making a good wrestling show,
right?
Or if they're interested in
variety show
or just mass, like the broadest appeal possible,
right, to those ratings,
to make ratings, right, and to make shareholders, you know. I don't, at some level, yeah, it's systemic. I don't think that they're interested in what would be good television,
right?
Because then they would just make these simple choices creatively.
Yeah,
so I don't know,
for broad and like obvious to anyone.
And it's sort of, and again, it's like you could make anything out of this. Like there's so many obvious choices and you choose to not.
And like, I think you need to like give your audience some credit too. Cause like, I mean, something so simple,
right,
people will understand it, you know, without you putting like Cesaro in a Bond suit. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
well, yeah. I'm saying that if a guy like Cesaro is going to have a really hard time. You have a hard time succeeding when there's no merit to winning matches or anything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
By the way, Samoa Joe losing more matches. The guy's not. When was the last time that guy won a match?
I couldn't even tell you.
I mean,
before Mania.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just because it's just a testament to his convincing or his like veracity as a threat naturally that like he's not a complete jabroni.
Right. It's just so interesting because they don't even give a fuck. Cool. So, yeah, but like, all right, so let's talk about the Raw reunion stuff. It's like DX came out, like, I don't know. I'm saying, man, I think the trip, they just wrestled. Like, I don't know. Is anyone excited to just see DX? I just, maybe?
They stormed the ring to... I don't even know. Were they challenging
Seth
the club
and AJ.
Or?
I'm just saying, like, how, like the only people who would like that segment, it's hard to think. It's like, who would like that segment? You know, it's not like these guys have been gone. You can't have 25 year reunions every 20 minutes.
I think it's for the people who are tuning in because they saw on a commercial that Triple H was on TV. Because, like, if you weren't watching and then you walk past the TV or you saw it was going to be on and you were like, oh shit, Triple H, I used to love watching wrestling.
Here's a message to WWE. Yeah, you know what? Let them go.
Yeah.
You don't need to bring those people back. Like, there's, you don't need to cater to fans who are, like, I don't know, who are just like, man, where's the Road Dog?
Taking the nostalgia
bait.
Well,
I'm just saying, what's the long-term plan here?
There is
like,
none.
That's what I was saying. Like, there was none. Like, I don't even understand DX rushed in.
Right, so cool. So this app's not for me, but let's assume somebody liked it. Like, I liked the Stone Cold segment. It's enough for me. Think about if we get 52 Raws a year or whatever.
Sure.
I'm willing to sacrifice one just to see a 3-minute Stone Cold segment.
Right.
Like, that's my mentality. It's like, see, we're picking this apart, but my thought is like, yo, not every Raw matters.
No.
Some Raws are throwaway Raws, and I'm actually okay with that. There's bottle Raws or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like the last episode of Handmaid's Tale was like a bottle episode. It was like,
oh yeah,
I didn't like it. I didn't hate it or like it or whatever. It was just like, oh, well, they wanted to make like the Fly episode of Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah.
That's what a bottle episode is, if you remember, like this episode that doesn't move the story forward. It's more of a character development episode or an episode
clip show.
What?
It's a clip show.
Right. So for wrestling, that is like a ratings show. That's what their bottle episodes are. I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm totally fine with it. The problem is they've really rubbed that Raw. Like they really hey folks. Raw. Oh. They really rubbed that Raw. You know what I mean? Like they've cried wolf or whatever metaphor I'm looking for. Where it's like, it's hard. We had a 1,000 SmackDown. I mean, how many? Are we gonna bring out every Triple H faction? Like that's another problem. Is they bring out Triple H like he's not still like the guy wears every hat in the whole biz. Like if he keeps coming out in his nostalgia act, it's like who? It's I'm embarrassed for him, to be honest. Like, I'm, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, now he's in Evolution again? Oh, now he's in DX? Now he's the NXT guy? Now he's the fucking manager, like the CEO. What
I'll
is he?
Tell
the
you CFO? What. Oh. Yeah, the CEO. He's the ELO of.
Oh, yeah, he's the ELO.
He's
yeah.
Emerson Lake and Palmer.
Great backpacks. Well, I don't know, what's ELO?
Emerson Lake and Palmer. Electric Light Orchestra.
Evil Woman?
You know who they are. Yeah. So, you know what hasn't been disappointing?
What?
NXT.
Oh, sweet, sweet.
Consistently.
NXT.
My mother-in-law.
Good. Are you doing Kane?
Yeah, you can't hear
it. I can't hear it. No, NXT's been fire.
Well, I mean, let's talk about NXT for a second. So, and we haven't even really talked about the fact that the Street Profits are like, I don't know, commercial guy, they're like hype men for Raw.
Yeah, I guess the interstitials.
Yeah. But that guy Montez, that guy's got personality for days.
Yeah,
and I said, good for him.
Yeah,
I think he's gonna do great things.
I wonder if he gets in trouble for looking at the camera. Because yeah. That's like a thing that they're not allowed to do, and he does it all the time.
Right.
Adam Cole, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Gargano. I love Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah.
These guys, they'll come up to Raw, they'll be nothing.
No.
I'm sorry. If you think Adam Cole
here's a free
is
going
to come up to the main roster
yeah.
in its current state and the way it is run right now, and you're like, yo, the guy's the future of the business. You're wrong.
Yeah. Here's a free meme. Make this if you want. Okay. GIF format. It's the one of the final episodes of Game of Thrones. The Dothraki running headlong into the darkness at the Knight's Army and then getting snuffed out.
Uh-huh.
That is what anybody being called up from NXT would be running into the main roster.
Good point.
So anyway, Raw reunion. I don't really have I don't have much to say. I think it's just like, you know, it's really like unfortunate. It's like unfortunate it's unfortunate the way that they use the legends, like how they lean on them and they expect so much from them, and then it almost doesn't like properly celebrate them. It almost the way they do it reads as like kind of sad. It's like, man, like have Undertaker come out and like. Talk to Aleister Black, man.
Right.
Like, have him just be like, yo, I like what you're doing and like that. Or maybe accompany him to the ring, like something like that. I saw that. Or have, like, Million Dollar Man invest in a wrestler or something.
Right.
Or, like, actually have money. Actually be, like, a stakeholder.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is a publicly traded company. It's like, oh, now he's got some percentage of stock. Like, these guys, like, they're around. You got Sergeant Slaughter, like, there. It's like, use them in a way where it doesn't feel just like weird.
Yeah.
It's
like parading them out on stage while like they all kind of wave awkwardly.
Right. But look, and they make a show, they balance a lot of talent, whatever. So it's a bottle episode of this stuff, you know? And I think they're going to have a talk with, you know. But look, all right, so good stuff. Like, what are you saying? Kofi Kingston is the only thing. I'm really loving Kofi.
Yeah.
Kofi's great.
I love his run. I mean, the guy is winning matches like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
They're really building him up strong. I think now he's going to wrestle at SummerSlam against Orton. Orton's not going to beat him.
No.
I don't think they're going to give the belt back to Orton.
I hope not.
Unless they're, I don't think going, yeah, like going into the Fox deal. I don't think that's the direction they're going. I think they're even going to push him. I was like, oh, they'll let him hold it till SummerSlam. But are you excited for any of these SummerSlam matches? Like Brock Seth is like, I'm glad they made their, you know, they're pushing Seth again. But like, are we pumped for that?
No.
Becky Natty?
No.
I'm getting there on that one. I just think it's, I don't know, man.
Like Canada, so Natty in Canada is cool.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was like, is that why they put Natty in the match? Because
I just, like Natalya.
What wrestlers excite you when they, I'm saying, what wrestlers excite you when their music hits or whatever?
Aleister Black.
Black.
Is he doing anything you're interested in?
I mean, but he's like sort of like, I'm biased. Like I'm, it's like, it's
well,
like,
that's how I feel about Seth Rollins.
Right. Like I'm already 90% of the way
Aleister
there.
Kofi.
Yeah. We love that.
That
it's like, it's not, is Orton really like going to make people, like, oh, I want to see that Orton. I don't know. Maybe.
I think so.
To see a Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Match.
I think there are people, bro. I say this all the time. There are people whose favorite wrestler is Dana Brooke.
Yeah,
okay?
I know, right?
There's somebody for everybody.
Not a lot, man. I mean, there's four.
No, there's a lot. And there's a lot of people who like Randy Orton. There's a lot of people who
I love Randy Orton.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's not, like, your guy.
No, but Randy Orton had a great promo on SmackDown.
Right.
His gimmick of like, yo, I didn't need to work hard. I'm Randy Orton.
Right.
And then he looks, he's a 12 out of 10. Guy's so hot.
Yeah.
He's got the best finish in the game.
I guess what I'm thinking is that, like, I don't consider Brock Lesnar to be interesting. I don't tune in because of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
But there are obviously tons of people who do because he's considered a draw and he's considered somebody.
Brock actually,
willing.
I think, is a draw.
Right. But I don't give a shit. So I can imagine right. that there are other people who like Randy Orton enough that they would be like tuning in if he was the champion.
I get that. Here's how I want to pose it.
Maybe it's a false equivalence because they're not the same.
Yeah. I think you answered correctly. It wasn't a test, but I think you answered it for me. Well, I think you gave me good clarity, which is like, okay, I always see it as like this. There's tiers of wrestlers who put asses in seats.
Right.
And there's probably five of them that are active. It's like John Cena, I believe, sells tickets.
Yeah.
And 100%. Gets viewers, right?
Yeah.
The ratings go up when John Cena's on the show. Good. He's becoming a bigger star. So I never fault them for pushing John Cena in any capacity.
Right.
Right? Brock Lesnar, I think, does that to an extent.
Right.
I think way less than a guy like Cena.
Less. Yeah.
What other, forget The Rock doesn't count, but yes, obviously.
Right.
What other wrestlers actually raise interest in ratings? Triple H does.
Right.
Yes, Triple H. I have friends who are like, yo, I'll watch Triple H.
Right. But active?
Because it's like AJ? No.
No.
I don't think AJ moves ratings.
Smarks.
Like, for me, I love AJ. He's probably my favorite wrestler right now, active wrestler.
Chris Jericho?
Jericho, I think, yes. He's an example.
Yeah. But he's definitely towards the bottom of the tier.
He's definitely on the bottom.
He's more of a wrestling person. Yeah.
How many draws exist in wrestling? My point is that there's a couple, but WWE pretends like they have a lot of them.
Right.
And they give respect to guys who are not, like, Orton might be that for some, but very low on the totem there.
Right.
So my point is that, like, all right, so if we know that a lot of these guys are not draws, then why not take more risks with the booking?
Yeah.
Like, Roman Reigns might be, at the lowest of the low levels.
Right.
Taker, 100%.
Yeah.
So if you push Taker, Goldberg, any of those guys, like, Goldberg, like, yeah, but that Goldberg I put in the Shawn Michaels category, like, those are just paycheck guys.
Right.
Like, Taker I consider actually an active wrestler. Right?
I think that's fair.
So
he's been on like four of the last five pay-per-views.
Have Aleister Black versus Kane versus Kofi.
Right.
Just to create new talent. Like, there was a time where I remember as a kid being like Shawn Michaels, I remember feeling like he wasn't a heavyweight champion. And then I started seeing him in the main event and was like, oh, he is.
Right.
And then he was holding the winged belt and I was like, oh, right. But my mind didn't accept it till they told me.
Right.
They don't tell the audience who their heavyweights are.
Right.
They let the audience dictate it.
Yeah.
So then it's like, we call for Daniel Bryan. We call, well, it's like then Bray Wyatt. They give him the title for 4 seconds. And then we're like, oh, no, he's not. Like, they don't give us the confidence, right? So I'm saying, do you think that they would sell any less tickets or get any less watches if the match was Kofi Alistair over Kofi Randy?
Would they sell any more tickets?
Well, let's talk about the gate. SummerSlam probably sell out because it's SummerSlam, just for the brand.
It's been sold out.
So probably like 25,000.
But let's say
people,
it was Stomping Ground, which we had shitty attendance. I'm actually thinking about this. Like, what do you think that Randy Orton, Kofi would sell more tickets than Randy, Aleister Black?
Yes.
Right. So how many more, if you had to guess? Like, I don't know. I don't know how to quantify what number. Give me a percentage.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably 20% more.
Well,
how many more? Okay, 20% more seats wise.
Yeah,
so that's big.
Yeah.
What about network subscriptions?
None. I don't think either of those guys would sell. Maybe
the
Aleister
beauty
Black.
Of the network is that if you're even a casual wrestling fan, you're like $10 a month, and I get access to every pay per view ever.
Yes, right.
You're probably like,
deal.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Right.
I guess my question is like, if Randy Orton's selling 20% more tickets than Aleister Black would, I think Aleister Black has enough of a following of people who wouldn't ordinarily go to a pay-per-view that might negate some of that 20% who would buy tickets to go to a pay-per-view.
I'm just thinking that Randy Orton is just so much more well-known and triggers that like nostalgia factor for people because he is from like sort of the that ruthless aggression era, like where those diehards
he's
are
been
like
around for
right.
Years.
So
yeah.
Then, okay, so here's right, but so cool.
I like Aleister Black more, but
I know you say so. You're yeah. I agree, yeah. Randy Orton. I agree. And sometimes I always think about there's also the element of like anytime you're the like a boss or something, it's like there's also seniority and there's like egos and contracts and whatever. So that's another element of it where it's like, well, Randy, we promised him a SummerSlam title shot.
Right.
So part, it's like, well, they don't want him going to AEW.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Randy, imagine AEW signs Randy Orton. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
That'd be dope.
We'll probably see that at some point. But I'm saying, like, because they'll tell him you could wrestle 2 matches a year for $5 million or something, like, right. If they have the money, you know? That we're going to see more wrestlers going to AEW just for the schedule, even if they take a pay cut. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because like Randy Orton's still going to like European tours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The guy has like 45 kids.
In a vape store.
Yeah. 45 kids. They're all named Traden.
Yeah. He's got RKO with these kids into his pools. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. But you can't create new talent without that opportunity. Like like Samoa Joe. If you give him the title, like Strowman, Samoa Joe is a bad example, but like Braun Strowman is a guy who was white hot,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and needed that title to be what they wanted him from him. He needed that title for my friends. Like I'm thinking my friend John, who would be like, oh, that. They made Braun the champion. I remember this. I remember when I was in college and I wasn't really watching wrestling. Like, I got back into wrestling because I got DVR. And I was like, yo, you can fast forward. And also, I don't need to watch Raw when it's on. Right? When I was in college, we're going out. Like, right. Yeah, I wasn't
That's
watching.
A great
right?
thing.
So I got to college. And I remember, like, we were big meatheads, you know. And I remember seeing John Cena and Batista on, like, Men's Health covers. And I had never really seen what they were doing, but I was like, oh, these are the new guys. You right. know what I mean? And then I was like, oh, that's cool. These guys are jacked. I don't know. And then I remember the moment I saw Cena holding the title.
Yeah.
I go, oh, he's a big fucking deal.
Right.
And like, I was like, oh, I get it. Cool. Does that happen anymore?
Probably. I assume so for some people.
Maybe it happened with Becky Lynch. On the cover right. of ESPN magazine.
Becky, right. That's what that I like Becky is following that trajectory where it's like, oh, like they're she's catching on, but
yeah.
Like, you know, they have to look at these talents and just be like, who can catch on? It's like
I guess
Aleister Black could be on the cover of magazines.
I guess I just
look.
Doubt I don't know how the business works, and so I don't know that it works. It actually works the right. way they think it does, where it's like, oh,
and we live in a different world,
right? Like, is it really still the thing where it's like people are attractions? Like, maybe there's a reason why there's only two or three we can think of, because I don't think it works that way anymore. It's not right. like Hulk Hogan. So it's not like
that's my right. point. Is why don't they push the younger talent?
Because
harder,
right? Which is why I have to question. Are they interested in making, like, what are they interested in making as a product?
Why does Baron Corbin get, like, a Cena match at a SummerSlam?
Oh, because Vince McMahon, this is true, thinks that he's sexy.
Stud, right?
Yeah.
He's like what women want. It's disgusting. Yeah. That's not so what
it's
women
like,
want.
It's like, oh, this is what women want.
That
they
is
want
so demented.
A pickup artist who runs an online men's clothing store called Butchers and Blades. Scotch and soda. Yeah. He's got a chain wall.
Yeah.
He's got a monocle.
This is what women want.
Fedoras.
Terrible.
Like... You know, let's talk about SNL for a second, right? The biggest segue ever, but like,
yeah.
Man, you look at Vince, you want Vince, man, and you look at Lorne Michaels. The you know they map really well together. Yeah. The institutions are hard to not, especially in the comedians of wrestling, they're hard to not compare. Lorne Michaels surrounds himself by like some of the brightest young talents.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever people, you know, there's a, you know, that check out that SNL book, you know, Live from New York or whatever. That if you want, that, it has people like talking shit about him and like that process and the show, blah, blah, blah. Regardless of what you say, is that like They bring in young talent and they write.
Right.
And maybe they filter it out, but their creative voices are heard like to a way higher degree than in wrestling. Now, it's a different business because it's like you can have multiple champions in SNL, right? Like, it's not like one guy is the breakout. You can have like, oh, he's got a character, he's got a great character.
Right. Many stars.
Right, you have many stars. Yeah. It's not like there is like the championship element of it, but I do think it's like some of these guys deserve like a chance to shine. Look at Jon Moxley, man. Like, Dean Ambrose. I mean, look, I'm not the biggest fan of Dean Ambrose. I actually don't like him at all. But I would say that I went from thinking that he sucks to thinking he's good pretty fast.
Right.
Just from seeing his promos and like doing something that felt like he's excited about.
New energy in AEW.
I don't know. Weird. I mean, the booking, forget about the booking of WWE is strange. It's strange.
Which makes me, whenever something like this happens, I have to like take an objective step back and I'm like, okay, consider that there's things that you don't know. Like, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, the politics, the decisions, why they're getting made, the money, follow the money. Like, there has to be a reason why they're not doing the things that are like that seem so obvious to us, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. Well, anyway, I mean, whatever. We talk about this forever. It is strange. It's a strange fucking product. But the point is like,
but we love it, don't we folks?
We love it, don't we folks? I love it down to like Drew McIntyre's weird chest hair. Did anyone see that? He has like a fucking landing strip.
I wasn't paying close enough attention.
Well, you know what? If Drew McIntyre has a landing strip, it looks like the tower is waving us in.
Hey, baby, I'm coming in for a landing.
Coming in for a landing.
Even if it was a Hitler mustache, I'm in as a Jew. But I'll say, no, I'm like, I love this thing. It's fucking weird. I love it for all its flaws.
Yes.
I love that it's like weirdly booked. And to be honest, there's going to be a weird perfection to AEW that you're not going to understand why you don't like it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, AEW is going to do a lot we like. It's going to be great. I'm fucking pumped. I mean, I'm excited for it. I couldn't be more excited for AEW on Wednesdays.
October 2nd.
Starting October 2nd.
Same week as SmackDown, going to Fox.
The same week as SmackDown. I mean, come on. It's exciting. It is exciting. And maybe it'll make WWE change their ways. They already are. And maybe they're just waiting to pounce and they're going to do the best shit you've ever seen. You know what I mean? And they're going to find a way to do a more consistent product, which, by the way, if you are listening from me, a professional television writer for a larger network than the WWE network, I'm just being a heel. But I'm just saying, no, it starts with that foundation. People need to know, how does your show work?
Right.
Where, like, lay some cement. Who's in charge? If we can know it's Vince behind the scenes. We can know that. But your show, when you see a GM show, when you know this is a show they do for money, it's a traveling show, it's for profit. Okay, are we making profit? Like, treat your audiences, they're smart. You know what I mean? Why do these champions want to win these titles? What's in it for them? They make money, or they just want to hold a leather thing? Because that's what it feels like right now, right?
Right.
Celebrate the lineage of these titles. Do you get like a championship robe or something? Like, is it these guys' dreams to win these belts? It feels like they just win them and they're sad. I just want it back because I'm angry. It's angry. It's loose emotions, two-dimensional emotion. It's like, write better for your show that has amazing fans. Stop disrespect. The fans need to fucking relax. Because their reactions are swampy.
Right.
You know what I mean? But what do you expect people who want to watch?
It's also not about the whenever anybody's complaining about anything, it's never about the thing you're complaining about. It's about something else. You stubbed your toe and you're fucking pissed off. And so it's like, fans need to see a therapist.
Right. We love it. We love the art of professional wrestling. You can turn on any episode of Raw. Let's think about 2 weeks ago. What was the last pay-per-view? Extreme Rules. I mean, some fantastic matches on that.
Yeah.
The reason you're disappointed is because the creative is because of what I'm talking about, and that's disappointing that they don't take it as seriously as you do. So it's not like when your favorite show like Game of Thrones has a bad ending.
Right.
Right. That's not what WWE's doing. It's like they're just writing a bunch of random episodes.
Right,
like,
right.
They're like not even thinking about it. Like that was a well thought out ending that was not executed properly and not to people's liking.
Yeah.
WWE would just not even have the ending. They'd start the new season.
Right.
And
they would have said the finale's tomorrow and they would skip
it
that is. And then start the new season or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're not even like paying. Like
every episode is the premiere of the next season.
Right. You're not even sure if they're trying to make you feel vested in it.
Right.
They're just trying to like, you know. So WWE needs to feel less like a cash grab and more like a show with fans. You know what I mean? So that being said, they do a lot, right? The wrestling's awesome. The wrestlers, we love the wrestlers. We love the fucking McMahons. We love what they've created. We love DX. We love fucking the club. We love, what else came out? I love Million Dollar Man. I love RVD. I love the fucking Sergeant Slaughter. I don't love just seeing them. I'm not two dimensional.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't like to just, they exist. I knew that when I woke up that day.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why we're upset, but we're disappointed. We're not mad. We shouldn't be mad. We should be disappointed because we care. And when you're disappointed, what do? You talk to someone, but you don't fucking yell at everyone else around you.
Right.
You deal with the thing. If you don't want to watch it, you don't have to watch it, but I'm not saying deal with it. This is what it is. But if you're disappointed, the best way is actually to like take a break from it and come back when it's good.
I agree.
I don't have that luxury, and I think you should still listen to the podcast. And probably Arlen, my businessman,
just listen to the podcast.
Yeah, Arlen, the Donnie businessman would tell me don't tell people to not watch wrestling or whatever. But I actually think you need to if you need to step away. Step away. Before I did the pod, I would take dips out. Shebs takes dip out. But for the people who are in it, it's like, you know, I think I've laid this out clearly.
Yeah.
I think I've laid it out clearly. It's complicated. You know, why I said watch out for reckless negativity. The reason I'm starting and stopping and this is like kind of blah, 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 is like, because I'm not just recklessly leaning into an emotion here, which is what you should do for good radio, technically, is like, and that's what, like, these loud the blowhards do or whatever. It's like, it sucks, here's why. And do people, people won't hear it. This is actually a complicated relationship that we have with wrestling. Like, we have, like, need, like, therapy with it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's complicated, and it's complicated for so many reasons. It's a big business. It's run like a mom and pop shop. You have like an aging man who doesn't want to let go, and we all understand that. We love him. When he comes out, we cheer for him.
Right.
We fucking hate this guy. Some of you hate this guy. When he comes out, you stand up and say
puppets.
We're not worthy or whatever. Right? Yeah. Puppets. If his music hits, you love it. That's because when you cheer for Vince McMahon, you're cheering for the foundation of your fandom. He represented it at a time wrestling at its peak in the Attitude Era was because he represented like a show with structure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was like, this is a guy who he actually owns the company. He's like making the XFL as he's doing it. And he's a key influence. He literally could wrestle here. They're trying to pull that with Shane, but he's actually not in charge. So we can't just assume it.
He's not as charismatic.
So it's like, tell the story.
Yeah.
You know? So people were like, when Bischoff came out, I was like, oh, cool. They're going to, anyway, I made this point a million times. Sometimes, what do? When you have it, you take a break.
Yeah.
Take a
breath.
It's okay to take a break.
Or just know you're going to like it again.
Right.
Yeah. And that sometimes you might have to deal with being disappointed.
God,
right.
For fucking bid.
We live in the best time because we're going to have AEW, which is going to be like
right
fucking cool.
The corner.
It's a real competitor and they're going to do stuff different. They're going to do stuff wrong, but they're going to actively try to be different and they're actively going to be a reaction to what people don't like at WWE. So now we have our yin and yang. It's going to be an exciting fucking time. Let's do it. Hey, guys, you guys feel good?
I feel really good.
Check out the Patreon. We talked for a long time for a weird week.
Yeah.
Patreon. Yeah.
It was like a 2-hour episode? What the fuck? Or an hour and a half?
Episode.
I know. I was excited to see you guys. What can I say? Maybe I got hibiscus in my ears. But we're going to do do a bonus. We're going to check in. It's going to be interesting. We're going to do a lifestyle episode, right? Yeah. Talk about what's going on with our health, physical health, mental health. Also affected. I think we're all busier than we were when we started the lifestyle episodes. And I want to keep up with you guys. See, are you hitting the gym? How's your eating going? And should be a good time. So head over there and hey, cheers up. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Comedians of wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.